Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Welcome back. We are talking about, you know, the next today, what we started yesterday about America, how we got here and how we stay here and should we be here at all. And if you didn't get it, you need to listen to it. It's so very, very important. It's so very, very important that we understand this, because if we don't understand where we came from, we're going to end up repeating mistakes of the past. And what we found out yesterday when we were ending yesterday was that if King James didn't understand his time, King Henry VIII allowed the Wycliffe,
Tyndale,
and all those that are beginning to just focus in on the Word of God because it was freed, as I talked about, and you can find out more about it yesterday, is that all of a sudden, when this queen comes in, she says Queen Mary wants to take it back to, we're all going to be Catholics. And when you did that, remember, Catholics were trying to blow up Parliament, so they had to run to Geneva. Geneva today, I talked about it. You got to find out why Geneva is what it is. The Geneva Convention, the places where many of the offices of the United Nations, it's amazing, blessed city. You can have a personal relationship with God. It's called the Geneva Bible. It could have been called the English Bible, but England ran them out. But it wasn't, but just like 6 years later that King James was born. Mm-hmm. And at 13 months, that's all he ever knew, which is faith and outside of having to go through the Pope. The Pope was just totally irrelevant to the mm-hmm. context of a relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, as I was ending yesterday's program, here it was, he goes to this particular meeting in Scotland. And this meeting in Scotland, they proposed to him. They proposed to him in this meeting in Scotland in 1601. King James VI of Scotland attended the General Council Church of Scotland, which is the sovereign and highest court of the church in Scotland, and thus the church's governing body at St. Columbia Church in Burnishland, Fife, in which proposals were put papers that were written. You had the William Tyndale Bible, which is the first English Bible ever printed. You had the first authorized Bible by King Henry VIII. Then you had the Geneva Bible, which came because of the persecution. Remember, they went from England to Geneva. And then when the Queen heard about this Bible, the Geneva Bible, she got so upset about it and the Great Bible because it didn't have the ecclesiology the way they wanted, the leadership the way that they wanted it, because they wanted total control over mm-hmm. James VI of Scot. 2 years later, you had all these Bibles going on, right? Mm-hmm. 2 years later, at the age of 34, he ascended, and then these three kingdoms were merged, Scotland, mm-hmm. and we talked about how, you know, Proverbs 19:21, 21:30, and Ephesians 1:7-12, how, hey, God has worked all that out in the conformity of his will. He was getting the word to us. Mm-hmm. And all that turmoil was going on because men were beginning to find out about God. That's why they have the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages is when men did not have the word and they weren't preaching the word. The Catholic Church took it captive. They began to, all the crusaders and all that stuff was going on. Well, as soon as he got into his, as King of England in 1604, he established the Hamilton Conference. The Hamilton Conference of 1604, the newly crowned King James convened the Hamilton Court Conference of 1604. On it were representatives of the Church of England, including, this is a pinnacle moment in history. And for those that begin to worship this 1611 Bible, you're missing it. That was God communicating to mankind, listen, I will. Persecution, execution, manipulation, extortion, control, torture, all that began because when men began to go after God, it was all happening for two reasons. Men's lust for power, for multiple reasons. Men's lust for power, man's quest for a relationship with God. When men finally got the Bible out of the hands of those who held it captive for their own personal gain, power, and control, his eyes became open. He became drawn personally to God. He could see God holding him personally accountable for his life. See what government did to God's word and the church and how it was evil and it was dark and had nothing to do with God and his love and his expectations for men. Living a pure life according to scriptures, they now had it in their hands. And this caused many leaders including Queen Elizabeth, to begin to spit out the words from her mouth. You Puritans. Today, people talk about Puritans like it's some perfect religious order. But the truth is, they were looking purely at Scripture. What does it say? Well, what does it say? Man, we sure need some people who look purely at Scripture today.
Right.
And so, and the Queen, remember, the Queen hated it. She had the Bishop's Bible. She had these things come up. She was trying to contradict what the Geneva Bible was saying because it revealed that she wasn't over the church. And it revealed the Pope wasn't over the church. And it revealed that this hierarchy bishop stuff wasn't over the church in the context of the way they thought it was. You got to go through a man to get to God. And she's like, it would come out of their mouth like, you'd spit it out. Puritans. Puritans. That's what people in rebellion say to you that say they're Christians.
Right.
They don't say it that way, but you're like, holy roller. Between breaking loose the Word of God, the Bible, from the Catholic Church, the many versions that were being written, and all the confusion that took place, the Catholic dominance and expectations, and finally this Catholic Guy Fawkes attempting to kill King James and the many members of Parliament, this authorized King James Version 1611 birthed. It birthed. And it was this men's quest for God, religious people hating men finding God, men's quest for power that began to persecute men who went after God, who would behead them, who would imprison them, that pushed English folks to run to other countries, Holland. And you have what's called the Mayflower. These guys were running for their lives. They didn't say, let's go find Plymouth Rock. That was the first rock they were able to put their foot on, the Pilgrims, because they actually were being persecuted for purely looking at Scriptures and reading what people gave their life to be able to give them. They just wanted to follow this God that they met in the Bible. And people criticized outside of man, and they penned these words, July the 4th, 7, in Congress. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United when, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them, the separate and equal stations to which the end of nature's God entitled a respect to the opinions of man requires that they should the cause which impels them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving from the consent of the governed. And what did that lead to? That led to the breaking away of King of England, which led to the U.S. Constitution, which preamble, the beginning of the Constitution that was penned by our founding fathers from which they came. And you understand why George Washington said, America won't work outside of God. The preamble of the United States Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for of the Constitution, which says, Congress shall make no law representing establishment of religion or abridging the freedom of or of the press, or the right of people to peacefully assemble and to redressing of grievances. I mean, it's making sense. This is where we came from. They're saying, listen, this is what happened. If King people died over this, and you're going to find out what happened to these people who translated the word and how their lives ended. And the First Amendment was to stop all of that craziness. And then with it, it came the Second Amendment. Remember when they realized that, hey, the Popish Recusant Act, they could begin to search people's houses for guns, and they began to say, wait a minute, we want to tell you that in the Second Amendment of the Constitution, we want to write out and make it very clear that a well-regulated militia, because it's a government by and for the people, it's totally different. Under God, one. And then when you talk about what was taking place with, they're just pushing their way into all the houses as kings, but we're not, we don't have kings over us here. That's where the Third Amendment came from. No soldier shall, in the time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of its owner, nor in times of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. In other words, respect the citizens of America. Which in turn led to the Fourth Amendment. Remember, they said you go search their houses and find out these folks and what they're doing? This is the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of our Founding Fathers. The right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise indictment by a grand jury is made. In other words, people around them has to come in as a witness. It can't be just some potentate, some king, or some prince that says take their head off. Which led to the Sixth Amendment, where you couldn't take the Queen of Scot and put her in your dungeon. In all criminal persecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. They held these people in dungeons and castles and all these different places, and we're going to even blow up the parliaments and all these things going on. This is the Sixth Amendment. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime has taken place. So in other words, you have a right to a trial, and you have a right to be able to face your witnesses. This didn't just happen, church. And when people tell you that God is optional in America, outside of God, and today, statistics say in the next few years that England, Great Britain, will be an Islamic nation through migration. Well, that's what's going to happen. Listen, you cannot push God out and expect the void not to be filled by darkness. Understand, you can see our journey, how we got here. You know, we don't worship the King James 1611 Bible, but the God that was revealed when the word came to man, that's what brought about the persecution, which pressed God's people into Geneva and Holland and eventually on Plymouth Rock. We just see it's just self-evident that we can no longer be up under a king because you're getting in the way of God here. It's just self-evident. Which led to, we got to formulate this thing to the eventual Constitution. We the people, in order to form our, it's a government by the people and for the people. Which led to the Constitutional Bill of Civil Rights, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, all these amendments. How did we get here? We got here by the hand of God. Was it messy? Yeah. Anytime you deal with men and our flawedness, yes. But you can't say it didn't. That's how it got here. That's how we got here. What caused it to come to pass? Oppression and tyranny and religious persecution. Our founding fathers were fleeing from oppression and tyranny, and the church was fleeing from the same along with religious persecution. Government pushing its way in and over religion. Religion pushing its way over government. All just a big mixed pot of just, ugh, which oppressed men. What was the one thing that set men to walk out the freest, most powerful, most influential, wealthiest, on and on nation in the world? What was the one thing? It was the Bible getting into the hands of men. It was the Word of God being understood by men. It was men beginning to follow God, not men. It was men understanding that God is real, God is present, and God is involved in the affairs of our daily life. It was realizing now that we know God, His Word, and that all of our rights come from Him, we can believe God for a nation which He is over, He blesses, and that He speaks to the men in that nation. We don't need a king. We need God. What did Israel say? Israel said, we want a king just like them. What did America say? America said, we don't want a king like them. What did God say to Samuel? Samuel, they're not rejecting you when they want a king.
Mm-hmm.
They're rejecting me. Give them what they want. What did America say? We found God. We don't need a king.
Mm.
We found God. We don't need a king.
Mm.
What did Israel say with Saul? When they got Saul became king. They said, we want a king like they got a king. And so they were giving up what America has today, God being over a nation, over a people.
Mm.
So when the Christians found God, they realized, wait a minute, we can actually live under God. He will convict us, He'll lead us, He'll direct us, but we have to have His Word. It's His Word. It's when His Word got released to us, then that empowered us to walk in His ways, and He blesses us, and with God. That's the reason why it's one nation under God, because outside of that, you got to have a king. And as long as one's liberty does not break one's leg or rob from them, what's it to it? You know, hey, God's going to deal with folks. This shows you why the plan of attack is on God in America. This shows you why it's on the Word of God and the ways of God and the name of God's Son. This shows you why the attack is on the commands of God and the knowledge of God, the Constitution that enables all men everywhere to worship God freely, ever how he sees drawn to do so, which so many paid the price to put that Word of God in their hands, because they got to once again take from us the very things that gave us liberty, which was the truth of God. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Here is his living, breathing, active word. Abide with him. Hide his word in your heart, and you'll have a fruitful life. If they can just take the word of God from you. William Tyndale that I mentioned, Tyndale was arrested and jailed outside Brussels for over a year. In 1536, he was convicted of heresy and executed by strangulation. They strangled him, after which his body was burned at the stake. You sure you want to go this direction, America? You sure you want to forget where we came from? Do you really want to take credit for this? The council concluded that Wycliffe was a heretic. May 4th, 1415. Remember, he's the one that also transcribed where men could begin to understand in English. And they banned his writing. They demanded that all of his writings should be burned, and he should be dug out of his grave and burned. Let me tell you how bad Satan hates the Word of God. He wants to dig you out of your grave and burn your bones because you dare free the Word of God for mankind so that they can know the love of God. They burned Wycliffe's corpse after exhuming his body and cast his ashes over the River of Swift. Get this. George Barna, a Barna group, says that only that people that say that they're Christians in America, followers of Jesus, that 81% of them don't even read their Bibles. And out of the 19% that do, only 3% do like our founders did and do like these men did, make life-changing transformation decisions based off of it. Think about it. It took us approximately 600 years to get to this point. This kind of freedom, this many people in the world hearing the gospel of God, just all every nation are being hearing the gospel of the kingdom, being transformed because of the word of God that brought us the liberty that we have today, to get the word of God free from these religious zealots, to get it all over the world, to get it printed. And today it's digitally and visually available for so many people. But it took the American church 230 years to throw it away. What men worked so hard for, that gave their life for. His word, his will, his blessings, his favor, his protection. Now the American church has it, but don't even read it. The American church hears it, but don't even believe it. When the word of God speaks to the American church, live your life this way, they curse it. And they blame God. And they're offended by it. Yet in the same breath, out of ignorance, with an audible voice, they say, God bless America. Looking back on history, when Queen of Scots was imprisoned, forced to abdicate her throne to her 13-month-old child, being raised by Protestants, having access to the Word of God, attending in May 1601, King James going to the Scotland General Assembly Church gathering to be able to be presented the potential, hey, we need a new English edition, to 2 years later becoming King of England, starting the Hamilton Conference in 1604, establishing the authorized King James Version in 1611, bringing order to the chaos that was taking place, brought about a man's desire to know and have the knowledge of God, to serve God, to have a free nation, where God was acknowledged over that nation. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty for all. We've gone astray from our founding fathers' purpose, original intent, which they penned out clearly for us. Now we're starting to see slightly the history they face is now in our face. We left not only the Bible as a nation, but the God of the Bible. Turned our backs on him, his ways, removing any acknowledgement of God in our public square. Pulled down his Ten Commandments. Don't anybody talk to him when you're in public schools. Don't pray to him. Don't use Jesus' name. Pulling, pulling, pulling. It's like, why? Because the enemy knows. Your future is going to be like the Dark Ages if you pull the light of the gospel out of America. And 81% who claim to be followers of Christ, who have the historical blood-stained translations right in their hands, right in their homes, don't even read them. What do? We can deny the reality of how we got here, what kept us here, and what will keep us here, and end up not here. Or we could do what 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that we found out when Wycliffe and Tyndale and the Puritans in Geneva found out when they translated 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 14. We finally found out what we could do. Now we can write it. We can understand it. We can read it. They dug his body out of the grave and burned his bones and cast them on the river of Swift so that you could read these English words. And these are the words. When I, God, shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. You see, prior to these translators, the only one who knew that were ones that were holding it captive and wouldn't let man know it. Huh. What are we going to do? What does it look like? How do we stay here? And should we even be here? Now we're finding out. It was because men found God. Men found the Word of God. Men began to translate the Word of God. And we found out when they did, we just got to humble ourselves before him. We got to acknowledge that, hey, we've done wrong. We got to say it's wrong. But we only can know it's wrong when we move out to 81 percentile and begin to get back into the 100 percentile. And like, these men gave their lives that we would truly be able to read and understand the Word of God. I mean, you can see it. You can hear it. You can read it. There's so many different ways to get the Word of God in you today. And the question is, what does it look like? But right now, this is what it looks like in our nation. Our borders are being infiltrated. Nations are wanting to go to war with us. Our economy is crashing. Our leadership's in chaos. We're so in darkness in so many different ways right now. But if we repent, and repentance does not mean saying, I'm sorry. Repentance means finding out what God has to say, which we can now. We can read his word, and then we do what he says. And then we do what it says. And then he says, then if you do this, you're blessed in all that you do. The blessing will come when we know God, know his word, and follow him. Jesus said, you're really my disciple when you know the truth and follow it. And those that follow the truth, it becomes revealed to them, and the truth sets you free. Freedom comes in the word. You've got to get back in the word. So what does it look like? Let's just look at Jehoshaphat and what happened in Israel when they began to go the right way. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. He was a king, the son of Asa, but he did what was right like King David did. And it's time for us to get in the English word or whatever version of the word that you're reading today that you can understand. And the king, Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, he succeeded Asa as king and strengthened himself against Israel. Let me tell you something right now. There's a lot of people who claim they're walking with God that will destroy you. You just heard it. All these folks said they were walking with God. The ones that were cutting off queens' heads, that were killing people, that was digging people out of the ground and burning their bones, that was causing the scriptures that are translated to be destroyed. So you got to just set yourself up and find out. You know, as for me and my house, I'm going to find out what God wants. I'm going to serve God. It's not about looking and taking the average of what's going on in the people who call themselves Christians. You got to get in the Word of God, and that's what he did here. Jehoshaphat, his son, King Asa's son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He was a Jew, but he strengthened himself against the Jews who said they were Jews, but they weren't walking with God, God's ways. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judea and put garrisons in Judah in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. In other words, he began to strengthen the military. He began to walk in the ways of God like King David did. He began to strengthen the military. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years, he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not consult with Baal. In other words, he got all this demonic things out of his life and began to just seek the Lord in him only. But he sought the God of his fathers and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. In other words, the practices of the church of that day, we would say.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the practices of the church of that day during the times of King James was kill you if you don't. So we're seeing sometimes you got to set yourself up and fortify yourself against the people who really say they are, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord established his kingdom under his control, and all of Judea brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high place. In other words, he dealt with all the false idols in the land. And the Asherah poles, all the sexual sin and the things that are going on in the land. In the third year of his reign, he sent out his officials who began to go to all of the towns and teach everybody the Word of God. It's time to get back in the Word of God and begin to teach the Word of God just exactly how it's written. Be a Puritan again. A pure word from the Scriptures sought out in prayer. In verse 9, they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judea and taught the people. It's time to teach the people again. And listen, the ones that don't want to be taught, let them go. They're not of us. Verse 10, what happens when this goes? Let me tell you what happens again. This is what we need again in America. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding America, surrounding Judah, so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. Think about it. All this war is going on right now. The war is not going to stop because you go to the United Nations, you come up with some strategy. The war is going to stop when we fall to our knees and repent and do what we were told at first to do in our founding fathers. Even the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and tribute. And the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 goats. Listen, you know, you want to have a peace with the Arab League, you get a peace with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't try to defeat Islam in your strength.
Right.
Just say, God, you're going to deal with this. You're going to deal with this. And Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts in the city, and the town just grew, and everything just was blessed. And he had peace on every side. Listen, we're not going to have peace on every side again in America till we do and understand how we got here, how we stay here,
mm-hmm.
and if God is going to. These men gave their reputation, their honor, their wealth. They were strangled, able for you to read, and you haven't picked it up in years. You said, it's too impossible for me to abide to read some scripture every day. It's just too hard for me. Do you really think that tyranny is not in your future? Do you really think what's happening in Great Britain is not in your future, America? Because that's the route they took. That's the route they took than religion. I'd rather have a relationship with Jesus Christ than all this. Islam's pushing today, radical Islam, a caliphate. It's no different than what was happening in the day of the caliphate with the Catholic Church wanting to rule the world.
That's right.
And you, just like Yulong said, he said, the reason why we don't like the church in China is because they have another kingdom. And this is the question we got to have, ask ourselves. Are we in the kingdom of God? Are we in the kingdom of America?
Mm.
Because America started because we went back miraculously, led obviously by God, to a time when Israel, God's people, said, we want a king. We don't want to be under you anymore, God. We don't believe that you can have a nation just under God. There's no way that can happen. We look at them. They have a king. We want a king like that. And Samuel says, and follow his lead. And where we are today, even how crazy it may look in the long run, God will transition us into our next season under him. Or we can demand tyranny. We can be just like Israel. And though you're hearing just like now, just like Samuel prophesied to Israel and said, this is what you've done. This is what God's done. And you don't have to go this way. And they still, at the end of the prophetic word, they still demanded, we still want a government to take care of us. We still want socialism. We still want communism. We still want Marxism. We want a country just like they have a country over there. We no longer want a country under God. Are we making the same era? Are we ready to go up under dictators and kings and tyranny and religious persecution? Or are we going to repent and go, oh, thank you for reminding me of where we came from, how we got here, and if we humble ourselves, repent, turn from our wicked ways, seek his ways, which is his word, seek his face, then he'll hear from heaven and he will heal America.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.